This is the Cato Daily Podcast for Wednesday, March 6, 2024. I'm Caleb Brown. The Supreme Court spoke pretty clearly on behalf of donor privacy in the AFPF v. Bonta decision. The states are still moving ahead with attempts to subvert the privacy of donors to nonprofits. Matt Neese is vice president of People United for Privacy Foundation. We discussed the ongoing fight for keeping your giving choices private last week. I guess we'll start here. AFPF v. Bonta, which was a decision that basically cracked down on state governments' ability to demand donor lists from nonprofits. Now, this is in keeping with the longstanding view of the U.S. Supreme Court since the late 50s that perhaps the state of Alabama should not have access to the donor lists of the NAACP. So this is a longstanding tradition that culminated with the Bonta decision recently. But as you say, that is not the end of the story when it comes to donors being able to keep, to nonprofits, keeping their identities private.
That's exactly right, Caleb. For those who don't know, Americans for Prosperity Foundation v. Bonta, that case existed in the first place because states were already going against what the Supreme Court had said in the late 50s during the civil rights era. In NAACP versus Alabama, that nonprofit donor and member lists are private. That's historically been the case in the United States. What's happening now is that states are trying to violate that, and that's been the case for decades. AFPF v. Bonta came about. What that case was then Attorney General Kamala Harris in California demanded that all nonprofits must turn over their donor lists in order to fundraise in that state. And several organizations sued. It took 7 years to get the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court issued a strong, robust pro-privacy opinion that was supported, by the way, by nearly 300 groups all across the spectrum, various causes, all united together, even if they might fight about the issues they believe in, all united in support of personal privacy for their members and supporters. But yes, unfortunately, despite that court ruling in 2021, states still are meddling in this area, and we can talk about that further.
If the Supreme Court was so clear, why and how are states proceeding with efforts, and what do those efforts look like?
Politicians don't always like to listen, I suppose, to court precedent. I mean, again, that's why AFPF had to exist in the first place, because they weren't listening back in the late 50s. Threats are all over the place. We document about 31 states in our memo that take various forms. Many times they are, you know, based in campaign finance law, but the reality is, where campaign finance law is regulating political activity, these states are trying to rate issue activity, where nonprofits are discussing the issues important to their mission and their members and supporters, and they are trying to make nonprofits have to disclose their donors, out those people to public scrutiny. Typically, there's political motivation in all of this. We see it with Republicans, we see it with Democrats. Kind of depends on who's in power, honestly. They don't like to be criticized. They don't like others having an opinion on their views and on their records and on the policies they support or oppose, and they want to try to silence the nonprofit community in the process and then silence the individuals, of course, that war would give to those organizations if they could maintain their privacy.
It's appropriate, I think, to understand what the nature of the threat is, because when people are confronted with a law in their state that your private information, which is the fact that you support this or that nonprofit that advocates for this or that issue, the notion that that could be made public and it could be leaked by a state government, which are notoriously leaky when it comes to certain juicy bits of information like that, that might prevent you from supporting a cause that you believe in. We know these as chilling effects. They are real. They are hard to measure. But just the fact that they exist, and you know, we have certain members of Congress who believe that chilling effects are a good thing when it comes to particular disfavored groups. Chuck Schumer, the Senate Democratic leader, has said what we would argue is the quiet part out loud. He said it very loudly, that this is a good thing to make people think twice about supporting nonprofits that they believe in.
That's absolutely right. He said the deterrent effect should not be underestimated because they know if you pass legislation like this, nonprofits will stay on the sidelines and individuals, Americans, will stop supporting those groups. It cuts both ways. For nonprofits, they've long expected and their supporters have long expected privacy. Individuals will stop donating. They'll stop joining if their names are out there. And frankly, it affects groups that are challenging the status quo, challenging those who are in power, speaking for marginalized voices, those who are entrenched and have been around forever. They're going to suffer too, but perhaps not as much. And I think that's often lost in the conversation. But from the individual side of things, you know, a lot of people, if they don't consider themselves a donor, that's fine. Maybe you're not. But if you support an organization, regardless of what issue it is, reproductive freedom, marijuana legalization, lower taxes, gun control, you name it. Even if you don't donate to that nonprofit, if that nonprofit disappears, your views aren't going to get a full airing. And if you're an individual who does donate to a nonprofit, maybe you're comfortable with your family or your spouse or your children or your best friends knowing. But what about your children's teacher? What about your neighbors? What about your church? What about your boss? Privacy matters, and it matters to everyone, whether they realize it or not. And these measures attempt to erode that right, and it'll harm individuals. It'll harm nonprofits of all stripes.
Can you give me an example of a state that is trying to cleverly circumvent the clear mandate of the AFPF v. Bonta decision from the Supreme Court?
Absolutely. Arizona comes to mind. I wouldn't use the term cleverly. I would say brazenly. But there was a ballot measure that passed just last year. Unsurprisingly, it was completely mismarketed as outing campaign donors, which, of course, have been publicly disclosed for decades in Arizona and in all places. The measure called Proposition 211, it is as wide-ranging as it gets. It defines essentially any speech about an issue as subject to disclosure. And not only is that organization who's doing the speaking have to disclose their supporters, they have to disclose their supporters' supporters. It's called original source. What that means in practice, no one knows, and that's part of the problem. So you're going to have folks disclosed for not giving to an organization that show up in reports as saying they did. And that's to say nothing of the compliance burdens on the nonprofits themselves. Why this is so dangerous is, of course, this is already law in Arizona. It's being challenged in three separate court cases, state court and two in federal court. That litigation is ongoing, but as we know from AFPF v. Bonta, these things take time to resolve. But while that's happening, you have this measure spreading to states as diverse as Oklahoma and Oregon. In Oklahoma this year was filed the text of the measure, and Arizona was filed as a regulatory proposal by a Republican lawmaker with the Oklahoma Ethics Commission. That just happened a few weeks ago. And in Oregon, anti-privacy activists are filing an identical measure called Initiative Petition 9 that we expect may be on the ballot this year. That would do the exact same thing as Prop 211 in Arizona. But what you have, interestingly, in Oregon is a cadre of groups that normally are fighting amongst each other, business community and the labor community, as well as in the entire nonprofit community, left and right, outside of these people sponsoring the initiative. They are all organizing to fight this because they know that this will have a chilling effect on their speech and their ability to advocate for their missions with lawmakers and to the public.
Now, to the extent that states are doing this, as you mentioned, in Arizona, brazenly, in other states, maybe more surreptitiously, while these things are being adjudicated, to what extent is the chilling effect still there in the interim?
Arizona is a great example, going back to it. So that law took effect earlier this year, and the reporting, I think, actually started a month or two ago. Secretary of State's website didn't even have the reporting portal up. Nonprofits are trying to scramble to figure out what they can and can't say, especially while the legislative session is ongoing. Again, this is groups all across the spectrum. Essentially, the measure made the Arizona Citizens Clean Elections Commission, the agency that oversees some campaign finance, it empowered them as the judge, jury, and executioner. And so they are issuing rulemakings to try to give guidance on how to comply. Those rulemakings are extremely deficient, but what we've seen just in the past few months is multiple advisory opinion requests, multiple groups commenting, again, all across the spectrum, trying to understand how this affects them. And what's really happening in practice is groups are staying silent while they try to figure out what they can and can't say, which, of course, was the intent of the provision in the first place.
So even if these laws are ultimately thrown out, and we expect them all to be thrown out, either as a regulation or a statute, the anti-privacy side of this, at least in the short run, is winning.
So I would say that's not quite accurate.
Okay.
They're certainly out there and they're moving. And these threats and the People United Privacy's memo, which documents potential threats in 31 states, speak to that. But at the same time, you have a competing pro-privacy movement in the states. Since 2018, 17 states, we're talking red states, blue states, and purple states, have considered legislation and passed in those 17 states legislation that would protect the privacy of nonprofit donors from government agencies. People United for Privacy is happy to lead that effort, but we've worked with lawmakers and nonprofits across the aisle in support of this. Just last year in Alabama, that measure passed the legislature unanimously, which is extremely impressive because everyone recognizes when confronted with this issue that privacy matters. It's not just for one side of the aisle. It doesn't only benefit one side of a debate. It benefits everyone. And so to the extent the anti-privacy lobby and activists are still engaged and active, I would say that they obviously are, but there's certainly a growing movement to stifle what they're doing and to protect privacy and to uphold AFPFB Bonta and uphold the rights of all Americans to give to the cause of their choice, free from harassment, intimidation, and government abuse.
Matt Neese is Vice President of People United for Privacy Foundation. Subscribe to and rate the Cato Daily Podcast wherever you please. And thank you for listening.